Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of 1800 Seconds in the Ring. My name is Norcam Jason, and you're watching wrestling's most contentious 30 minutes, where you get the news and opinions that you need. I would be remiss if I did not introduce my co-host today. Two-time published author, the bane of WAAF signals, ladies and gentlemen, the unprofessional broadcaster, Eddie Brophy.
Well, I wasn't ready for that, but thank you for such a lovely and warm introduction, Jason. Yes, apparently I am the unprofessional broadcaster, Eddie Brophy, and I am happy to be joining Jason on this endeavor. And yes, there is a good chance that I will upset several wrestling fans in the internet wrestling community just on this inaugural episode. So let's go. Let's get into it.
All right. Let's not waste any time. We're going to jump into headlines. We're going to cover the hot topics. And since this is a first show and there's a hot pot of a lot of things going on, to me, I jump to the main topic or of discussion, and that is Cody Rhodes leaving AEW. What do you think about it, Eddie?
We've had many conversations about this off camera. This is going to be interesting, because if this does not pay off in the dividends that I'm sure Cody's hoping it will, I'm wondering if this is career suicide. I mean, he's one of the co-creators of AEW. He's helping create this new innovative competitor in wrestling, and then he just jumped ship just like that. So it's a little concerning, because WWE does not have the greatest track record with talents who honestly believe that they're going to be main eventers. And, you know, in order to get Cody out of that role at AEW, I'm willing to bet it had to be, as JR says, cash or creative. So which one was it?
Perhaps both.
Perhaps, and that'll be the interesting experiment to even see. You know, it's rumored he's going to show up at Mania. He's going to be Rollins' opponent. It'll be, I give it 6 months to see if this is going to pay off for Cody Rhodes. What about you?
It's so weird, because that interview is floating around where it's less than a year ago, and he's like, I'm here for the long haul. I have dreams of political aspirations. He's like, his roots are buried at that point.
Right.
Something changed real fast. I have my theories on exactly what had changed. But
it actually did inspire. So at some point in the show, Jason's going to turn over to me. I'm going to do a top five thing. But I came across something I hadn't thought about before. Greatest wrestling conspiracies, because there's a conspiracy floating around right now about Tony Khan, owner of AEW, and Cody Rhodes. So at some point in a future episode, I'll tackle that one. It did get me thinking a little bit about what was kind of going on behind the scenes that acted as the catalyst for Cody finally saying, you know what, I'm out.
I know the term punk money has been thrown around, but I think there's more to that. I kind of feel like there's a legitimate dislike between, at least one way, I don't think Cody likes CM Punk.
That's an interesting one. I actually never crossed my mind, because I always think back to that photo that Punk had posted when it was Cody was the Intercontinental Champion, he was the WWE Champion, Daniel Bryan was the World Heavyweight Champion, Eric Bloom was the Tag Champion, Beth Phoenix was the Divas Champion. And it just, it seemed to have that Punk was, what was the thing he said, like, if you don't move forward, then you're going to get lost or something like that. And it just seemed like at the time, like, he had a camaraderie with all these people. And I just assumed that Cody was no different, that Punk and Cody must have had some sort of camaraderie or some sort of relationship back in the later 2000s in WWE. So
I saw an interesting clip from a couple of years ago. It was from the Jericho Cruise, and they were having like an open discussion, and the term locker room leader came up. And Cody tells a story of CM Punk saying, hey, I'm the locker room leader, and him going, what? You're not the locker room leader. You know, Kane is the locker room leader. So it was kind of like a weird comment.
And it's funny. You might have shown me that clip, because now, like, as soon as you mentioned that, I'm like, I remember Jason bringing that up, and that there was a little bit of tension between the two, because Punk was very adamant that I'm that guy. I'm the taker of our locker room.
So I don't know. I'm curious to see how this plays out. I almost feel like WWE has to make this work to show people from the other side that there is life and more to expect on this side of the aisle. You know, it's been 3 years and AEW's kind of, you know, picked up pieces as they went. And, you know, Cody's the shocking one to everybody that he's the first to go.
I think this will be a great experiment because it's going to kind of be reminiscent of the later 90s in the Attitude Era of WWF, where you had most of the WCW roster populated by former WWF talent, and then the homegrown talents, like your Jerichos and what have you. Those were the people like Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, who were jumping ship to WWF. So it would be interesting now that WWE is looking at AEW guys, if they're going to be able to show some of the more homegrown guys, hey, we have opportunities here for both cash and creative. You know, look what we did with Cody. So that would be a real interesting thing to kind of, you know, get to see.
And another headline that's out there right now is Tony Khan purchased Ring of Honor, which is surprising, but I think a great business move on
smart, his smart move, especially if the rumors pan out that they're going to strike a deal with HBO Max.
Yeah.
Because obviously the big thing was when the network got bought out by Peacock, or they sold the rights to Peacock. I think that'll make AEW a true contender against WWE if they could have a similar platform where they also have a library of tapes to another wrestling organization. I mean, those Ring of Honor tapes, I mean, Punk even said he was so elated that Tony Khan had purchased them because Vince McMahon was making enough money off of his past. So. And there was that cool thing that at the last pay-per-view where Punk was able to pay homage to his character or his look from Ring of Honor. I thought that was really cool. And I know you marked out for that.
Oh, that was fantastic. And the other point of it that I thought is, okay, you have 3 years plus of AEW content. Now you have legacy content. Now you have the ability to tell documentaries and dive deep into the different members of your roster. So. Yeah. Going to be interesting to see that.
I'd be really interested to see if they actually are able to get a deal with HBO Max, because I think the second that they jump in the streaming platforms, that's when you're going to see some serious contention against WWE and the network and Peacock and all that.
Yeah. And then sadly, the other note is the passing of Scott Hall.
Sad when we were all, I mean, everyone who's a fan of wrestling, we were all following it. What gutted me was when Sean Wall and X-Pac had revealed how he broke his hip. That was what, and when you found out that the pandemic had caused Scott to relapse and he fell. And I mean, he was there for a few weeks on the floor. Like, he had no one. He wasn't able to reach a phone, wasn't able to reach out to anyone. And yeah, it just, that was pretty devastating. I was a little taken back that we all found out he had passed by the opening graphic on Raw.
It was a weird, ominous, strange thing, and confirmed like seconds later on Twitter by Sean Waltman.
Right. Obviously, that was, it's always a bummer. I mean, especially when you've had a few of these now. I know, like with Taylor Hawkins, the drummer of Foo Fighters passing away. It's just like, you know, you're just getting kind of coming to terms with Scott Hall and this one. And it sounds silly, but when you're a fan of anything, obviously pro wrestling, music, television, whatever, it's tough. But it was really cool to see a lot of the wrestlers and fans reach out, and obviously not the invasive ones who Sean Waltman was really trying to defend himself against. But it was really nice to see the wrestling community and fans alike, yeah, you know, celebrate his career.
Yeah, Scott. I mean, the legacy speaks for itself. You know, a legendary WWF character moves on to NWO and blows up the wrestling world. Probably should have been a world champ, but he will be missed. So moving on to the next topic, WWE. I know you're always interested in the Hall of Fame. I know where your mind's going to jump to immediately, but let's start from the bottom work up. Not that anybody's on the bottom, but the Warrior Award and Shad Gaspar. If you have any takes on these, please jump in.
Somebody had actually, I think it was on Reddit or somewhere on the internet, a guy caught some experiment, said they should actually change it from the Warrior Award to the Shad Gaspar Award. And I was kind of like, you know, here's the thing. If you saw Dark Side of the Ring, like, stories. I've always been a fan of Warrior the character, but I've always believed that the performer, Jim Helwig, was not exactly an easy person to like. The fact that they were able to go from the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior to the Warrior Award, it seems like a massive progression, but I mean, there have been a couple of times where I'm like, the Warrior Award, really? Like, he wasn't exactly known as the most philanthropic fellow on the planet. So I did think that was kind of funny that a fan had pointed that out.
So some of the other inductees, you have the Steiners, Queen Charmel, and Vader.
Vader's a big one for me. I was a huge Vader fan, big Van Vader fan as a kid. I mean, I mostly knew him from his run in WWE, which is just so criminally underrated. And it's honestly a shame that he never had a world title run. Honestly, well, that one still bothers me.
Outside, in WWE, you mean? Yeah. Hmm? In the WWE.
Right, yeah. And he never got the strap in WWE when he had his run. And honestly, just one of my favorites. So it was, I mean, it's sad that it was posthumous because prior to his passing, which is really sad, you know, he had really advocated for something, tried to lobby, and obviously WWE wasn't interested at the time. But, you know, I hate to say it, but it almost feels the quota. They have a certain quota for how many dead wrestlers are we going to let.
Yeah, sadly.
And unfortunately, it was just Vader's time.
Yeah. Did you mean that pun?
You know, you can edit that later so I sound smarter than I really
Puzzling one, I guess, is Queen Charmel. I don't want to sit here and be like, nobody deserves it, but this one's kind of I completely forgot about her.
Not really familiar with her outside of her being married to Booker T, not really familiar with her as a performer. Outside of just being Booker T's wife.
A Nitro girl at one point, I believe.
Yeah, don't really want to vocalize my confusion because I don't want it to get taken the wrong way. But obviously with you, I've kind of gone through a list of female talent. Or like, well, why is Luna in the legacy?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't Luna have gone, you know what I mean? Like, and I just feel like even Michelle McCool, you know, I was a fan of Michelle McCool. I thought she could have gone. I mean, the one that you and I went back to was Sable. Where's Sable? Yeah.
But apparently there's a little tidbit that came out this week that Tori Wilson said during her induction, she was not allowed to mention Sable by name, which was puzzling.
Yeah, and especially considering that Brock Lesnar is her husband.
Exactly.
So, yeah, a little confusing. I mean, I did kind of scratch my head and go through a list because, like, it was Ivory in? And you're like, yeah, Ivory's in. Is Victoria in? I don't actually remember now if Victoria's in.
I don't believe so, but that is a one that I would
see. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few that I would certainly think, like, well, China Solo, like, yeah, it was a little puzzling. Tori, another one. Whatever. I mean, that's great for her. I just think that whenever the Hall of Fame comes up, there's always questionable, like, well, why would this person get in before this person? Yeah. And I just think that's typically the case with fans when you think, like, you know, well, why isn't Triple H? And I'm sure next year, actually, if it's in Hollywood, I think Rock, next year is probably going to be Rock's year.
Yeah, I can see that. And then the man who obviously could have gone in by himself Friday night, but Undertaker.
I think it probably would have made more sense considering that they're going to do the live SmackDown into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Hall of Fame is airing so late. So don't get me wrong, like I love watching the Hall of Fame. I just, as a 34-year-old man with children, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hang long enough to see the live telecast. I'll probably have to watch the replay. But
definitely. In fairness, though, there's 5 inductees total, and that includes the Warrior Award.
But I don't want to see anyone have to get rushed just for Taker speech. Because sure. I feel like one of the things is like we don't know who's inducting, or at least I don't know who's inducting Steiner Brothers, which that is long overdue. I love the Steiner Brothers.
I imagine it'll be Rick's son, Braun.
Vader. I'm kind of curious who's going to induct Vader.
I heard Jim Cornette say that the only person that makes sense is Mick Foley.
I was thinking one or two people. It's got to be Mick Foley instead of Jim Cornette himself. So. So yeah, and obviously Vince is doing Taker, which you know that induction in itself is going to run kind of long.
Oh my God, yeah.
So yeah, very excited. Even more excited because the WWE shop is now re-releasing some of the old school Taker shirts. And I happened to see one that I had always wanted from the years when my parents and I used to shop at Bradley's. So granted, I'm not going to be paying that thrifty $10 for it if I decide to get it. I think it's, you know, price tagged at like $30 now, but.
So another topic is the two-night mega event of the stupendous WrestleMania 30.
Okay, where did that, I have to ask, because maybe I wasn't following too closely, where did that even come from?
I have no idea. It just kind of materialized in my head.
Like, I didn't know if that came from Kevin Owens, if that came from Seth Rollins, or if that was just like, yeah, I just slapped stupendous on it.
I think it's the latter, some kind of marketing thing.
Yeah, matches that you're looking forward to.
There's a lot of filler.
A lot, yeah.
Celebrity involvement is probably the highest I think I've ever seen it.
I will say that, I'm sorry, I'm not, with the exception of like Cyndi Lauper, I dare I say this, I thought Snooki was a surprise when she was in the match. I wasn't expecting it to not be a complete dumpster fire. Dennis Rodman, even Jay Leno was kind of interesting. But in terms of celebrities, I always have been someone who, the less celebrity involvement, the better. Like, you know, like when they show them ringside, like they're here for the show, like they're like, that's always cool. But like in terms of taking a spot that could have gone to someone else, it's always left kind of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Although I will say I'm mildly interested in the Johnny Knoxville stuff.
So. Only because now it's a stipulation that, isn't it, like a
nobody Street Fighter or something.
But. So as I mentioned to you, if this was a cinematic match, they could have done like,
yeah,
really, you know, what Bruce Richard called the haha, like, yeah, with all the gimmicks and all the haha and all that crap, including all the jackass stuff. So like, I mean, we might still get that.
And we are rapidly expiring time, so let's run through the rest of this card real quick. AJ and Edge, any quick thoughts?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the best in-ring match. SmackDown Women's Champion Ronda and Charlotte.
Not as excited because we've pretty much already seen it, but I mean, it'll still... I'm looking forward to it, but it's definitely not the top of my list.
Yeah, it could surprise me. Is what I'm.
What That's I'm what I'm at. Is it could definitely surprise me.
Yeah, the miraculous return of Stone Cold again. Well, in a segment with Kevin Owens.
So he's very adamant that he's ring ready. He's in the best shape he's been in. I don't know. I think we're gonna have to wait and see what happens with this one, because I don't see this as blue jeans Stone Cold with a beer and a pair of sneakers and a Stone Cold shirt. I'm starting to get the impression if we don't get jorts in the vest, we might actually get old black trunks, leg braces, boots, the nine. So we'll have to wait and see.
Seth versus mystery opponent. Anything quick?
If it's Cody Rhodes, interesting. Thought they might try to build to it in a more elaborate way. Not so much just kind of throw it out there. If it ends up being Shane McMahon, then Vince McMahon is the greatest troll in the history of trolls.
And then the big one, the title versus title.
Only interested because Brock's promos as of late have been really entertaining. Not so much excited for the match, but excited to see what this could mean for the champion going forward and unifying the two titles. And if they come out with a brand new title, instead of constantly carrying the two titles around, or just kind of interested in seeing, because WrestleMania is usually the catalyst for like the future of the company and where the company's going in terms of, you know, the next era. So
I kind of think this is Roman's match to win.
I do. It's just, it's unnerving because you've built Brock into such just an ungodly level of like impervious. So it's just to give Roman that rub just seems like, man, they are really doubling down this guy. And as much as people come around him, I still have my doubts about Roman. So
true. But you've told this Brock versus Roman story for years. Roman needs his definitive win over Brock, and I think this is it.
No, and I couldn't agree more. Do I necessarily want the guy to be Roman? I'm still not completely sold on him, but you know what? I was never sold on Cena either. And then when he came back to wrestle Roman was when I was like, oh my God, I miss Cena.
All right. We will quickly jump to the next topic, AEW. What's catching your eye right now? Anything catching your eye?
The promos. Eddie Kingston's promo, William Regal's promo, just the promos. That's been, I mean, obviously the wrestling has been phenomenal, but yeah. I choose the promos that were, they're not stories. It's genuine. It's coming from somewhere of truth and just, it's a different kind of wrestling for me. Mm-hmm. And I was becoming a fan prior, but now like I have it tuned on right now. I'm kind of like peeking over every, you know, like what do we got to say? Tony Khan needs to cool it with the surprises, but.
But that's the fun of it. There is a surprise and a reason to watch every week, which I can't say I find that on Monday.
No, absolutely not.
So to give a couple quick things that I'm loving right now, Danielson and Moxley team up. I think that's going to turn to something phenomenal. I think the title picture or the main event needs a little help. I feel like it's been a little weak. It's probably the weaker of the elements in the show. Not right. Nothing against Hangman, but I think he needs a better dance partner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. I love the MJF Punk stuff, and I'm excited to see where he goes now.
I was just going to say, I feel like MJF Punk, I'm just trying to think here, like a potential Darby. I mean, there's a lot of guys in there, Kingston, that I like. But yeah, you got to switch it up. You got to get him a good partner.
And then we'll switch to our off topic. This week, I'm going to bring up the downfall of Triple H's era of booking. Anything to toss on there?
The downfall of his era. Honestly, if you want my honest God opinion on that, Vince, I think that Triple H was doing a phenomenal. In reference to NXT, you mean?
Everything, because I listen to this list. You have NXT UK, the Mae Young Classic, and 205 Live and the Cruiserweight division. All that has been wiped clear, basically, except for NXT UK,
and I'm
which
sorry,
is
that,
limping
that,
along.
I don't blame that on Triple. I blame that on Vince.
I do too.
I think that's all Vince. I think that. Paul Levesque, Triple H, who recently retired, I think he's was taking wrestling back into a direction of pro wrestling, which of course is not something Vince was really high on. And I think it's just Vince, you know, he's a carny man. Like, he wants to keep the strictly entertainment, keep the stockholders happy, you know, keep the merch going. I don't think Vince really believes in professional wrestling. I absolutely know he's more of a spectacle guy. The problem is like, you can only have so much spectacle, and then you're a wrestling company, man. Like, if you give me too much spectacle and not enough wrestling, it's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, AEW slowly finding that balance right now.
Yeah.
Where they start off as like a little too out the gate, like, okay, like with the high flying stuff. And I can agree with a lot of the old school wrestlers, like, you know, kind of keep it a little more grounded. And then you got the wrestlers that are starting to do that. And it's just, it's finding that fine balance. Like, not every match has to be a Hardy Boy ladder match.
Yeah. I do think that part of the downfall of NXT was the unsustainability of it. He kind of had this great, platter of different items to pull from, you know, guys in TNA, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and mix them, mash them into a super indie. That's not really there for him anymore.
No, and I mean, I had read that he had originally wanted to purchase Ring of Honor years ago. So again, I think this is Vince call, and it's Vince Bruce purchase fingerprints are all over it now. Yeah. So, and the majority of your guys from NXT, your top guys that got to Raw or SmackDown or got on the big show, so to speak, from the minors to the big show, it's what it wound up happening with them. You know what I mean? I mean, Finn Balor, like, holy crap. Like, I remember being so excited when he came to, you know, from NXT to, you know, SmackDown Raw. And it's just like, what's going on with him lately? You know, like, it's just a lot of those performers lost their shine, so to speak.
All right, I'm going to move on to our next topic, which is collection, or the collection. Today I'm going to show off some firsts from my first WrestleMania. When I initially went as a hardcore Red Sox fan, I was like, I cannot buy anything that says New York. So I pulled off this shirt right here. This is from WrestleMania 29 in New York, New Jersey. But the pandemic got me itchy fingered, and I started buying everything I could WrestleMania 29 related. So I purchased the hat. Of course, the official t-shirt. Yeah.
You know what's funny though, and I was on Reddit earlier today, Squared Circle, and I was reading, somebody brought up a great point that the Punk Taker match really was the only breakout match on the whole card.
Yeah, that saved the show for me.
I was going to say, a lot of people who went there said it was freezing.
Yep.
The card was not good. Nope. And Punk and Taker 100% should have. And it's like now, like, I'm like, I have to go back. Because I remember you were in New Jersey. Yep. I was at home watching it and thinking, this is by far one of the better Taker Mania matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. A couple of the other items, the official cup. I believe I grabbed one of these for you as well.
I believe that's one of my ex-wife's stuff.
The official jersey right there. That one was hard to find on eBay. And then no collection would not be complete without the official bear and pin.
Yeah, the official beanies of WWE.
You can't call them beanie beans.
We'll get sued. It's the shitting.
Let's see. Now we'll jump to our next top. Top five. Eddie, what's the top five this week?
All right, so this week I wanted to be in lieu, or in light of, rather, of Taker's induction into the Hall of Fame, rightfully so. I wanted to go with the top five Taker gimmick matches, which, of course, Taker being a character, he's been in some really wild and interesting matches. Not on my list, but one of which that I thought in theory was interesting was the Punjabi prison match, because, you know, of course,
okay,
you know, you got a character like the Undertaker. So these are the five I saw with. Love them, hate them, disagree. Get me to get very upset after you eviscerate me on YouTube, what have you. In no particular order, first one that came to mind was him and Vince McMahon buried alive match, Survivor Series 2013.
Nice.
Now, this isn't merit based simply on like wrestling performance or anything like that. This is more like entertainment, creativity. You've got to love a match where within the first like 5 seconds, someone gets color. Of course, he lands that fist on Vince. Vince is busted open, and we're off to the races. Anyone who's familiar with buried alive matches, typically that's a gimmick change for Taker. And at this point, American Badass was a novelty. I get why he needed to change the character in the early 2000s. I don't think you could have had a dead man Taker during the invasion angle. I don't think a lot of the stuff that Big Evil or American Badass Taker did, you could have necessarily done with Zombie Taker or Evil Taker, but so that was my first pick. Second pick, obviously, big one. HBK casket match for a Rumble 98. Hands down, just one of my favorite matches, aside from also one of my favorite casket matches I've seen. I just think him and HBK had a chemistry that I will probably unlikely ever see again with two performers. And of course, that was the match that was famous for Kane burning the casket with Undertaker inside and Shawn Michaels breaking his back, which is going to wind up in a conspiracy top five because I've read some interesting stuff. The next one, Kane, the inaugural Inferno match at Unforgiven 98. Again, not based off of performance because obviously how well can you perform in a ring that's completely engulfed in flames? This is truly a novelty thing. I saw the return of Vader. That was really cool because I did enjoy the Kane-Vader rivalry, as short-lived as it was. AJ Styles, Boneyard, WrestleMania 2020. Interesting because it is Taker's final match on WWE television. And he went out on top because if that had been a conventional wrestling match, I'm sorry, it would have been a really, really, it would have been marred because Taker's body has just deteriorated, and even Taker knew he was not, he was dragging ass toward the end of his career. And finally, and you know, like if you were there to see it, these matches are not, the pre-taped and then in the ring matches are not fun to watch on the TitanTron when you're seeing them live, but I have always had an affinity for the initial Mankind character, so the boiler room match between him and Taker at SummerSlam in 96. I really dug it. It was interesting. As somebody who flip-flopped over the years since 1992 as a wrestling fan, there was always a wrestler in match or something that got me back into wrestling. In 94, it was the very first ladder match with obviously Razor Ramon and HBK that got me back into wrestling. In the later 90s, for whatever reason, Goldust I was really enamored with, and you know, of course, Mankind, and this is a match that stuck out to me. So.
We'll jump to the next topic. What to watch. For my pick this week on what to watch, while not a great match, definitely not a bad match, probably a contender for match of the night, though, from WrestleMania 9, the dark match, Papa Shango versus Tito Santo. It's only notable because it is the first match that Jim Ross called. You can find it online. It was recently unearthed or uploaded to the network. You can find it. I recently searched it, but that's my pick. I think it's a cool little Easter egg of a match. Anything to suggest yourself this week?
Now, are they strictly matches, or can it be like anything wrestling related?
Matches, segments, anything. A little.
I want to go documentary because I recently revisited wrestling with Shadows.
Oh, nice!
It's still hands down one of my favorite documentaries.
Perfect. Definitely. The finish, we'll go to our final thing. Anything closing for or closing thoughts on WrestleMania weekend?
Really looking forward to not just Taker, the stories or the speech he'll deliver. Interesting, Mark Calloway, the man and not the character, address the universe. Really kind of interesting to see how Vince keeps it together because you know this was his baby, creatively speaking. And just his relationship with Mark over the years. And of course, I don't know how. It's just good. It's not like I'm necessarily a Cody Rhodes guy. I never really was. Even I thought Stardust was interesting, but I will say I have been closely monitoring Cody Watch 2022. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to figure out where Cody winds up in this whole deal. So speaking of AEW, and to plug our Twitter, 1800 seconds, ITR at IT, or you get it. Look here, or gmail.com, 1800 seconds ITR. You can email questions, but this week I will actually be live at Dynamite, so I'll post some pictures exclusively on the Twitter. You guys can ask questions all WrestleMania weekend. Bam, we have well exceeded the 1800 seconds time limit, but. This has been fun. Eddie, always a pleasure to chat with you. What's that?
I said always, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. We'll catch you next time.